to another Yes to Life show, looking at the many facets of integrative medicine for cancer. I'm Robin Daly, your regular host for the show, and the founder of the charity Yes to Life, which is helping people with cancer to access the many benefits of integrative medicine. I recently was privileged to speak at the first Creating Wellness event in Edinburgh. One of the other speakers, Tiffany Carlson, described herself as a medical coach, not a term I'd heard before, so we made a date for me to find out more over Skype. Hi Tiffany, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I met you at the recent Creating Wellness event in Edinburgh, where we were both speakers. Well, apart from really enjoying your talk, I also noted your job title, medical coach, and I thought, never heard of one of those before. So I wanted to find out more, and so let's start at the beginning. What is a medical coach?
Yes, well, thank you, Robin. A medical coach, it's a new field of coaching, but what a medical coach does, our aim is to really work with people who have gone through medical crisis or diagnosed with medical illness of some sort of chronic illness, and work with them to create more emotional and physical resilience as they face symptoms or a crisis or the fallout of a crisis. It's about really looking at someone's, not just the diagnosis, but their whole life and how it affects their life, and helping them to build, you know, plans, resources, different ways of different approaches that they can use that will really help them feel empowered as they face symptoms, as they face doctor's visits, and trying to really instill hope that, you know, life can still be full and they can still live in the midst of not being well, or in the midst of, you know, a fallout of a condition that might have happened to them.
Okay, great. Well, I'd like to go into all of that in a bit more detail. So, I mean, chronic illness is relentlessly on the rise, as we all know, and cancer's right up there as one of the most stressful diagnoses you can get. But it sounds as though you help people with a whole range of different conditions. Is it your experience that people with cancer are often the ones with the greatest difficulty and therefore the most in need of support?
That's a really good question. I think anyone can benefit, you know, of course, from medical coaching. And I have had a range of clients in the time that I've been doing it, from, you know, people who might just have chronic sinusitis to people who have come through breast cancer and are now trying to rebuild the years that they've lost as they've gone through treatment. And so I do think that anyone can benefit as they want to look at how the illness affects their daily living, how it affects their relationships, their finances, their outlook on life. Those with cancer oftentimes can benefit to an even a greater extent just because of some of the reality of the disease that they're facing, and the time frames that oftentimes they're given by medical professionals, right, or the difficult treatments that they have to undergo, that maybe someone with a less serious condition might not be having to face. So, you know, there is a lot of benefit that can come for those that have suffered or are suffering cancer and been diagnosed with that, really trying to build internal resources and strength, and just different ways of approaching how they face treatment, how they face, you know, doctors and time frames that they might have been given. So yeah, I know myself, as well as a number of coaches who work with those with cancer, and the benefit is huge, you know, as they explore how the disease has affected them and their self-worth, and you know, and how they, yeah, view life and how they want to embrace life still. In that,
have you worked with a lot of people with cancer?
Not too many. My experience, you know, has, again, it's a new field of coaching. So I've recently come on as a medical coach. I've been a coach for, you know, over a decade, working with different individuals. And the medical coaching side has really only come in the last year and a half. And so I haven't had a lot of people with cancer yet. But those that I have worked with, you know, we've been able to do a lot of good work together.
So medical coach, it seems to be a very specialized term. And I just really wanted to find out, well, actually, the first time I heard it, I thought, wait a minute, is this for coaching doctors or medical staff? But clearly it's not that. But although they got very stressful jobs, and I bet they could use some.
So we can talk about that.
Okay.
Of that, yeah.
But is the title medical coach, is that a descriptive title of the fact that you happen to be a coach who happens to coach people who've got illness, or is it actually the result of a specific training?
Yes, both. Those that are trained to be medical coaches have already had, you know, when I entered the program, we all had to have already been professional coaches, trained as coaches by, you know, another organization. And the Medical Coaching Institute is the one place where they offer this medical coach training. And it's specifically for, it's a program that has been set up, a methodology that has been set up by a wonderful coach based in Israel, Cherie. And she, after having a, you know, chronic illness herself for many years and had worked as a coach, realized this can benefit so many people facing illness. And so she started the program. And so it is, you know, specific methodology, specific kind of processes that we use to really help those. So I, you know, you go through a rigorous training, an internship where you're supervised to become what is a licensed professional medical coach.
Okay, and is it, what shall I say, sort of one size fits all, and as much you just get training to help people who've got a medical condition, or do you get trained in particular conditions or particular situations?
No, it is more of it's training to help those with a gamut, you know, it isn't a specialized,
right,
you know, to help only those with cancer, to help only those with autoimmune conditions. It, you know, it gives, the principles can be applied across various illnesses. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how long was the additional training?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I had gone through some rigorous coach training over a decade ago. So this in addition was, we had about 8 months virtual. I did it virtually. They do it face to face as well, of 85 hours of training. And then I did 30 hours of supervision, which was, again, being supervised, having to record everything I, you know, did, and with my clients, and making sure I got feedback on how I was using the method. And that was, that took me a good year to do.
So it's a pretty thorough training, considering you started off already being a coach.
Yes.
Okay. So now you've already mentioned this, but in the first paragraph of the medical coaching page on your website, you point to the very specific purpose of your work, to enable people to look to the future with hope and positive expectation. Now, many, or even most oncologists these days, would put being honest about someone's condition and prospects as being much more important than giving them hope. In fact, the word you most hear associated with hope is false. So what do you think hope and positive expectation has to do with this? Why is it so important?
I think it shows a difference between just surviving and actually living, even in the midst of a difficult, like I said, diagnosis and maybe a difficult outlook, that still oftentimes I believe, you know, I'm married to a doctor, and so I believe wholly in the medical profession and their expertise and what they offer people. But I oftentimes, you know also they have to have the reality of being really honest and in terms of what the potential outcome could be. And it can be sometimes quite negative for people. And it's really about not putting that kind of writing that death sentence, let's say, for someone, but it's about saying that you are still living, you know, you are still alive. And yes, you have this illness. And yes, there is, you know, we don't know what the outcome could be, but how in this time and in the midst of what you're experiencing, still live and still enjoy life and still do things that you are passionate about, that you love to do. And even when there's limitations because, again, of the symptoms or the condition, how can you still feed who you inherently are and still live? And so rather than kind of just giving up, and I think there's something really important in it, you know, those that have that outlook, you know, I don't have any hard fact studies, but, you know, it is quite commonly known that, you know, those that still push themselves to the things that they're passionate about and to engage with those that they love and try to have that fuller life, you know, do have a much, you know, their well-being is much more, is much better, is much more secure. It's and it helps them when facing illness, and it helps them fight. And I think that's what it's about, really having that energy and that emotional resilience to continue to fight. Mm-hmm. I guess I want to meet, as a coach, I want to meet someone where they're at. I mean, that's so important. And to sit with them, because, you know, if someone's given a 3-month diagnosis, they're going to go through a grieving process, a huge grieving process. Mm. And as a coach, I want to honor that. You know, I don't want to rush them through and make them say, you just have to be happy, you know, just be positive. That's not, yeah, it really is holding a space for them to be able to experience the fullness of whatever they're facing, whatever emotions that they're having, but showing them that they still are alive. You know, and they still have value and they still have something to offer despite maybe a, you know, 3-month diagnosis.
Mm. So, yeah, so as you say, I mean, it almost certainly affects people's quality of life in the present to actually have that kind of outlook of actually valuing what you have rather than descending into a sort of gloomy prognosis and dying.
I recently just took one. They had the medical coaching community had a course on grief and how to coach people who are dying, you know, people who are in hospice, you know, and so much of what we were just talking about was the importance of still being there and still showing them that you are still you, you still have value, you still have purpose, even in the midst of this end stage of life, and really holding them in that space.
That's great. Yeah, but it's difficult to hold on to that kind of value and purpose, isn't it, when you're facing, like, well, nothing. And yes. Yeah, so it's a great job to actually support that. Okay, so while many people might acknowledge the stressful nature of going through cancer, they might also consider that mental well-being is a kind of nice to have, a kind of secondary need of less importance than the actual treatment of the cancer itself. I'd like to hear how you think about that.
No, I think mental well-being is a huge factor in, you know, successful treatment. I, again, that how a person is viewing their situation, how they feel supported emotionally and mentally by those around them, their outlook of believing that they actually have resource, that they have choice, is hugely important in helping them face illness. Because the treatment that they're going through is there to, yes, hit the physical symptoms of their disease, but to know that mental side of things, to know you have resource, to know you have choice, to know that you have people to turn to, is just helps make the effectiveness, I believe, of that treatment even greater. Because, again, there's just this willingness to fight a little bit more when you know, you know, you have these things, or to feel like you're a bit more empowered because you realize the importance that, you know, that you do have options, that you do have some control, when you realize you have choice, when you realize that you have these resources. So I definitely think it's a huge piece, and it needs to be just as important as the medical treatment.
Good. So I would agree with you entirely. I mean, if people call our helpline, you know, if their state of mind is poor, well, they're not even in a good position to start thinking about what to do to help themselves. So extremely important. Yeah, it's fundamental. But
yeah.
Okay, so it seems to me that, like, possibly the biggest factor putting cancer right up there at the top end of the stressful conditions list is the story that's been built up around it, which is that a diagnosis can lead inexorably to suffering and then death. Well, of course, this is actually true in some cases, but it's by no means is a certainty. But nonetheless, it's the kind of existential nature of the challenge that gives cancer the power to make people question even their fundamental desire to be here. You know, it really gets people at the very deepest level, I think, a cancer diagnosis. So I was just wondering if you wanted to say a little bit about that and how medical coaching might help somebody.
Yes. So medical coaching really tries to focus on drawing out a person's full story, the fullness of who they are. You know, prior to diagnosis, you know, during diagnosis, and how they are currently. And really, I think it's important to help someone tap in to a story again that empowers them, a story that makes them come alive versus just detail of difficult symptoms or difficult diagnosis. And as you said, you know, the prognosis that can often be around cancer. And so, it would, you know, as a medical coach, I'd be really working at trying to, again, draw out what's beyond that, and, you know, what becomes possible when they have the things that they want. And, you know, just getting them to see a bit, you know, about the key things that they value and that's going to be important to them as they face their illness. And what, you know, yeah, anything, any resource that can continue to give them strength, to give them empowerment, and a story that's just not, I'm my illness. I have cancer, and that doesn't become their label. They are not their illness.
Right.
They are much more than their illness. And it's so much about helping someone to see how much more they are than just their illness.
Well, Sophie Savage has that great quote on the top of her website, which says, I have cancer, cancer does not have me. And many people like her have really spoken about, if you like, the the other side of getting a diagnosis like cancer. I mean, it could be any really challenging illness, and what it actually brings out in terms of getting people on track with their lives, if you like, in a very fast manner that they might not have managed otherwise. And is this something that you've experienced with people?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, I just had an experience with a client this week who has come through cancer, and just sharing with me how much she values time with family now in a way that she never had before.
Right.
And just the importance of keeping that at the forefront as she goes forward, whereas she would allow work to just cut in prior to that.
Right.
And yeah, and I've heard that from people with different illnesses, you know, who, there is just a passion for life in a way, and an appreciation for what they're able to do, their bodies are able to do, and how their bodies are able to function after they've come through illness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, my husband suffered an illness for a few years, and he's now healthier, but just again, the way it's transformed, the way he views his patients, you know, and serving his patients as a doctor, it really has helped him be able to see them more, you know, even he's always been one who's passionate about seeing them as people and not just their symptoms, but greater appreciation of just when you aren't feeling well, how that can affect so much outlook on your life. Yeah.
Okay. So the coaching you offer, it seems to be very broad in terms of situations that you feel it can help with. I wonder if we can go through a few of those, if you'd like to just talk about some of the different ways in which you think medical coaching can help someone with chronic disease.
Yeah. Medical coaching, as I've mentioned, it really is there to help people find resources and things that will help them when they're facing a tough situation or tough symptoms. And, you know, there's different techniques that we use with clients to help bring down stress levels, anxiety, let's say prior to treatments. For example, you know, recently I worked with someone who was about to have a surgery and was feeling very anxious. And so there's a technique we use called emotional freedom technique, which is a tapping technique, and really there as a resource that she could have. We did it together, and then but she could then take away with her and use it to help bring down the stress levels and the anxiety prior to a surgery. There are, you know, again, techniques that we use to really help people understand what is some of the key moments or trauma that might have happened around illness, and how the emotions that oftentimes can get trapped or stifled in a person. Because I think as a medical coach, there is an approach that, you know, our emotional well-being and where what happens in our emotions can really help contribute to how that illness plays itself out. And if there is trapped emotion or trapped, you know, energy in any sort of way that through trauma, it's about identifying what that was, identifying what's been trapped, and releasing that or reframing that, so that pain can be lessened, or again, just symptoms can be reduced. And then there's, you know, also goal setting. People, like I have a client who's gone through illness, who's re-entering the work, going back to work. And how, again, is she going to manage giving self-care, you know, balancing her health needs and the things that she's not able to do anymore? because she's gone through illness and she's gone through a medical crisis, how is she going to be able to make sure she's keeping her health in check, giving herself time, but also finding her way back and finding her feet in work again and doing a good job at something she hasn't been able to do for a few years. Mm. So there's many different ways that medical coaching can help someone. And those are just a few examples.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Yeah, so when you were referring to trauma there, presumably this could be trauma from the past, but it could also be the trauma of actually having the disease as well. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So it could be quite present. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I'd just like to hear, maybe you give us an idea. I come along to you to consult you. What do I expect?
Well, what we initially will do, our first session, is what, as a coach, we like to design an alliance and how we want to work together, you know, where you get to say what's going to be important for you and vice versa. And just, it's important as a coach and a client to really personalize the way what the coaching is going to be about and what's important, and kind of define some goals and some vision of what might be, you know, what we would like to work through. And so that usually is just the first session. And then after that, I like to work with people for at least 10 sessions, minimum. And because of just the time frame of really seeing some change and some sustainable resources and different goals and ideas to come out. And after that, it really is about each session. You know, in coaching, one thing is it's important to know that the client leads in terms of what they want to focus on and discuss. It's just the approach, and we go where the client goes. In medical coaching, it is slightly, sometimes a bit more directive, just simply because someone might be in shock, you know, through a diagnosis or not feeling 100% because of symptoms. And as a coach, sometimes we need to kind of pick up and guide a little bit more. But, you know, I would have a client come to a session, tell me where they're at, what they kind of want to focus on. If they have some pain, let's say they're experiencing some pain, I might suggest that, okay, let's do a technique that can maybe reduce that pain, or where you would try to center into what's causing this pain exactly. Is there something else that we might be able to, some emotion again, or something that might be able to help reduce that. And so as we work through each session, it's always about, again, really trying to meet the client where they're at, what they need, and me as a coach assessing what might be the best methodology or technique to use at that time that's really gonna help the client benefit that day and where and what they're experiencing, and also provide them resource to take forward.
And sessions are typically how long?
I work with someone for an hour.
An hour. And
each session.
And when you say 10 sessions, that 10 weekly sessions or further apart?
It depends on the person. Mm-hmm. It could be, if someone feels like they really need the support, you could do it weekly, mm-hmm. Once a week. Most of the time I meet with people every 2 weeks, so every other week. Mm. And then if someone is facing a surgery or is having chemo or something, a coach will go in and can meet, you know, right before that session and really help, again, provide some resource, provide some, you know, resilience, strength to go ahead and face that.
Right. So you're flexible about it depending on the circumstances.
Yeah. Mm.
Right. Okay. So are medical coaches easy to find? Are there plenty of you out there? Or are you a rare beast?
Again, yes, we are a rare beast. It is growing. You know, it's a new again, it's a newer realm of coaching. And so, for example, I'm the only one in Scotland trained as under the Medical Coaching Institute. But there are several medical coaches within the United Kingdom. And, you know, and then there's some in Ireland who've recently gone through training. And so it's growing. The best place to find, you know, a medical coach is if you go to the Medical Coaching Institute website.
Okay.
And they actually have a link there on Find a Coach. And those, they list coaches that have been licensed through them and so have gone through the rigorous training that I explained earlier that I had gone through. And, but it's a new realm of coaching. And one thing that, you know, Cherie and Evelyn, her partner who have founded this, have found is they, you know, not only do they train coaches, but they're going in and training doctors and nurses and coaching techniques and presenting this material to them so they can use it on their coaching, which is really, really important that, you know, doctors and nurses don't have the time. I think most of them have the heart to do this type of work, to give the emotional support to patients, but they just don't have the time. But, you know, the more people who are trained in this, you know, in these sorts of techniques, the more full treatment, you know, the fuller type of treatment can be given to patients. So I know they have a train.
So any signs of that kind of thing happening in this country at all, of interacting with medical professionals?
Yeah, I actually don't know if there's anything in the UK planned at the moment. I do know that they're doing some, you know, training in other countries in Europe. But I could find that out for you. I haven't heard of anything specifically for doctors and nurses within the UK.
Okay. And one more question about the actual coaching. Do you do all your coaching face-to-face or might you do it on Skype?
I do it both ways.
You do?
Yes. If someone's present in Edinburgh, yeah. But I've had clients in your other European countries that I've worked with.
Right.
And got it over Skype.
Well, that might be important if there are not so many of you.
Yes.
We're going to have to end it there, but thanks very much for coming on the show, Tiffany.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Coaching, from my own experience, is great. I haven't had medical coaching, but I've had coaching for other things. And I found it completely invaluable, especially when you really want to make change. I mean, change without help is so difficult, I think. But that's where a coach really comes in. So I imagine it's a great thing to have at such a difficult time. Thank you very much, and I hope some of our listeners will want to have a bit of a better look into what medical coaching is.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So medical coaching sounds like a great formalisation of something that has been available rather randomly through coaches who have themselves experienced a serious medical condition. Hopefully, more people will train and this specialised service will become more widely available. I thought it would be interesting to hear of someone's actual experience of medical coaching. So Tiffany kindly put me in touch with one of her clients, Beth Allnut. I called Beth in Scotland. Hi, Beth. Thanks very much indeed for coming on to tell us about your experience of coaching.
That's all right.
So just very briefly, I wonder if I could start off by just asking what the condition was that you were faced with.
So I became septic and that was then found to be due to congenital adhesions. So I needed open emergency surgery to figure out why, because the septus was kind of taking hold and they needed to sort it fairly quickly.
Sounds serious. So this was something life-threatening then, yeah?
Yeah, so I'd probably been ill for about 4 days, and that was the sepsis was kind of in my system, and it took kind of 4 days to get into hospital, to get admitted into hospital. So by the point I was admitted, I was kind of an emergency case, and unknown, so they couldn't work out what was causing the kind of blood poisoning. And you know, how to, you know, to give me antibiotics, but they couldn't work out what was causing it. So,
so this was all very out of the blue for you, is that right?
Yes, yeah. So, especially it being congenital adhesions is something you're born with, but you wouldn't ever know, and it doesn't affect very many people. So, yeah, it was completely unknown, and I'd been completely healthy up until that point.
Strange. So what made you decide that you wanted to consult a medical coach?
I think having come out of hospital, like 2 weeks after being unwell, and then just kind of facing recovery, there wasn't support given, you know, after hospital, and medical coaching was a way of kind of figuring out how to recover and what I needed to do to help, like, look after myself, because being unwell was such a, like, unknown to me. I'd been so well before it that just, I had lots of questions, I had lots of kind of symptoms that I didn't know what to do, like, about, and therefore I was kind of looking for support, and then was pointed in the direction of coaching.
Interesting. So it's a way of helping you navigate new territory, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, did you get what you hoped from coaching?
Yeah, so when I first met with Tiffany, it was kind of looking at where I had been before, what I'd been doing, and then where I was at now, and the difference and what I could do to either help me get back or help me get better or move forward in different things. So to start with, it was very kind of very much about the symptoms I had or the things I'd been doing, talking and processing them to kind of help me move forward or look at things that might have to change and how I kind of did life. And then it kind of moved on to helping me with specific situations, like day-to-day things that came up maybe at work or meetings or trying to go to a doctor and explain what happened, things like that actually kind of helped me prepare for or like talk through to understand better.
And what sort of period did you have coaching over, or are you still having coaching?
I'm still having coaching, and it's just kind of, we do kind of exercises to either help look back at things, or it's kind of setting goals and helping to look at what's achievable now and where are the areas that I can still grow in, or things that I want to happen, and what would I need to do that's maybe different now that would help me move towards those.
And how much would you say that the coaching was angled towards quite practical questions of decisions and that kind of thing, and how much towards your psychological and emotional state?
I think that's probably a split right down the middle.
Right.
Because each session can go either way, depending on what's come up for you, or you can bring things to it. Like, you set goals at the start that are kind of threaded throughout each session, and you kind of don't notice yourself moving towards them. But then equally, each week you're kind of asked what would be helpful. Yeah, so it's split so that each session you can bring what you want to each one, so that, like, 1 week you know with a specific appointment or meeting that's coming up that's relevant within the next few weeks that you want to be prepared for, and then another week you might go and there's not something pressing that week, but it's time then you can look forward, or you can talk about something that maybe you've been thinking about. So I sometimes kind of have memories of things that happened, and it's helpful to go back and look at them and kind of take away any of, like, the fear or any anxiety that kind of sits around things that happened. So, yeah, each week can be different and can be exactly what you need. You're just asked what would be helpful this time.
It's interesting, because it sounds like in some ways you may be clearing up possible problems in the future which can linger from a traumatic experience.
Yeah, I think it gives you the time to stop and look at it now, not let it kind of get buried or become a bigger worry or issue in the future.
Excellent. So it certainly sounds like something you would recommend to others then.
Yeah, and I think, like, almost no matter what you've had happen to you, it can help. Because it's so free and there's so much that can be kind of done within it, that actually, even from the smallest thing to a really big traumatic event, you can learn a lot through it.
Mm. Great. All right. Well, that's been a big help. Thank you very much for telling us about your experience.
That's all right. Thank you.
That's all for this week's show. I hope you found it interesting, and I hope you'll want to join me again next week for another Yes to Life show. As usual, there are links to resources for this week's and every week's show on the Yes to Life website. That's at yestolife.org.uk, click Media Centre in the left-hand sidebar, and then choose UK Health Radio. Before I go, I'd like to mention a couple of upcoming events in the Yes to Life calendar. On May the 18th, we have Ancient Concept to Modern Practice, The Role of Chinese Medicine in Supporting People with Cancer. This is a talk by Don May in Camden, London. And on June the 10th, we have a day trip to the linseed farm near Horsham to find out all about the health benefits of linseed with Derwin Banks. To find further information and to book for either event, look on the Yes to Life website under events. Thanks very much for joining me today. Goodbye.